ABC Radio Australia.
Sharing a Pacific morning.
On July 20th, 1969, two American astronauts landed on the moon and in doing so became the first humans to walk on the lunar surface. Their names were Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin. Their mission, Apollo 11. And tomorrow celebrates the 50th anniversary of that iconic day. But did you know that the Pacific has had a role to play in NASA's missions to the moon? Many of those Apollo missions of the late 60s and early 70s splashed down back to Earth near American Samoa, and many of the astronauts, including Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin, spent time there on their return back to Earth. To find out more, I spoke to spaceflight historian Scott Pook, who is at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida.
The role of the Samoan area really relates to the end of the flight, the re-entry and the splashdown. For most of the Mercury and Gemini missions, the spacecraft returned because they were only in a low Earth orbit. They returned into the Atlantic Ocean, usually within about 1,000 miles of the Cape Canaveral Air Force Station where the missions were launched. For Apollo, things changed dramatically. We were going 250,000 miles out into space to lunar orbit, and then we were returning. And for most of those missions, the prime recovery area was in the Pacific Ocean between Hawaii and Samoa.
Why there?
This was the most, from a mathematical point of view, the most advantageous area to bring the astronauts back. We also have a much greater water area to work with, and it's a more stable area than some areas of the Atlantic. So the Pacific round Samoa, between Hawaii and Samoa, was chosen as the re-entry point for the Apollo missions. There was only one mission, I believe it's Apollo 7, the first manned flight of the Apollo command module that re-entered and landed in the Atlantic Ocean, but that was coming from a low Earth orbit. All the other missions came down in that Samoa area.
So Apollo 11 is the mission that went to the moon and did the whole moon landing.
It's one small step for man, one
So when Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin returned to Earth, they did so in that area.
That's correct. Now, the 11 mission was a little bit different because 11, because it was the first landing, of course, scientists back on the Earth weren't really sure what we were going to encounter on the moon. There was great concern about moon-borne organisms and germs. And with that came a need for quarantine. So the astronauts, when they re-entered and landed on the ocean, a number of recovery personnel from the USS Hornet, the recovery ship for Apollo 11, were parachuted into the water. They opened the hatch and immediately threw three what we call biological isolation garments straight into the spacecraft, then slammed the hatch shut. Once the crew were zipped up in these isolation garments, the hatch was opened again, and the crew were able to step out into a life raft zipped up in these isolation garments. They were then transferred to a helicopter, taken to the USS Hornet, and then lowered straight to the recovery deck. Once the helicopter was in position on the recovery deck, the crew walked out of the helicopter and straight into a quarantine facility called the Mobile Quarantine Facility, basically a converted mobile home trailer that was used to convey the astronauts from the recovery ship and onto the Manned Spacecraft Center in Houston via Hawaii.
We were the first crew, of course, that was going to be exposed to the lunar surface material. And there was a fair amount of scientific debate as to whether that might anyway pose any hazard to people back on Earth.
That is just absolutely wild. It's like, because obviously when you think of these NASA missions, you think of them like launching up and then being in space or on the moon and all those things. You don't really think about how they get back down to Earth, do you?
No, you don't. And for a long time, that's something that's being taken as something that's been taken for granted, because the most spectacular part of any mission is without doubt the launch.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11.
The re-entry is something that's not normally seen on television. It's a very passive sort of affair when you're floating down on the parachutes and landing in the ocean. It's almost anticlimactic when compared to a launch. For the space shuttle, of course, it was very different because you had the orbiters coming down and landing very visibly on a runway in California or Florida. But for the Apollo missions, the splashdown was the most anticlimactic moment of the whole mission, and yet it was the part of the flight that called for the most precision when it came to the skill of the astronauts and the skill of the flight controllers, because to get this spacecraft in from a quarter of a million miles out and to have it at the right angle took real mathematical precision. If they hadn't had that precision, the crew could have either re-entered too steeply and burned up, or re-entered in a shallow manner and skipped off back out into space, never to return.
Oh my goodness, that is wild. Because I know that Apollo Mission 13, that in particular, they were concerns about the re-entry back onto Earth. And apparently even the astronauts who went up there were thinking, oh, we're never going to get back.
Okay, Houston, we've had a problem here.
This is Houston, say again, please.
Houston, we've had a problem.
So the fact that they were then greeted by the people of American Samoa with traditional dance and culture was just obviously elation for them that they were alive and survived it. It's so wild.
That's right. I mean, Apollo 13, there were so many things that went wrong on that mission. There were a few things that, funnily enough, did go right. But there is one other mission I should point out that very nearly didn't make it back, and that was the preceding mission, Apollo 12. They had a lightning strike right after launch out here at the Florida launch site at Cape Kennedy, and the lightning strike knocked out the electrical systems on board, and there was some concern over the parachutes that the igniting system to release the parachutes may have short-circuited during that lightning strike. If that had happened, Apollo 12 could certainly have re-entered, but they would have had no parachutes, and they would have basically done a ballistic trajectory into the ocean. Now, for Apollo 13, the concern came about because there'd been an explosion in the oxygen tank in the service module. The concern related to the heat shield itself, that the heat shield could have been cracked, damaged, or otherwise compromised during the explosion in the oxygen tank. There was no way to check the heat shield. They simply had to go on blind faith that the heat shield was okay. And the 13 crew were actually about a minute or two late in resuming contact with the ground once they come through re-entry. So there was almost right up to the final seconds. It wasn't until we saw the parachutes actually deployed on the spacecraft and that television signal of that image coming through onto the monitors in Mission Control in Houston that we knew, yes, we've got this crew back. So the celebrations that followed in Samoa with the crews and the traditions of the Samoan region were well and truly justified. That was a mission that could very well have gone wrong, and yet it was NASA's finest hour.
Is there any chance of, upon re-entry, they actually crashing into an island, or are they doing all the maths to ensure that that does not happen?
Look, we do the maths to ensure that that does not happen. You're absolutely right. The only chance of that happening is with a booster rocket stage or with an out-of-control re-entry, something like the Skylab re-entry that happened in Australia in 1979, which just marked the 40th anniversary of that. But the stages themselves, the rocket stages, there's no way to predict where they're going to come down. And there were some Apollo Saturn stages during the moon landing program that did make uncontrolled re-entries and impact in portions of Africa. There's also been unmanned boosters, particularly Delta rockets, which are great satellite launchers. They have impacted on land, and the Russian boosters regularly do impact on land because the Kazakhstan launch site is right in the middle of the former Soviet Union, so it's a landlocked area. It's not uncommon for boosters to come down on land. For spacecraft, it is mathematically controlled, but that said, the Apollo spacecraft did have the capability to land, and the spacecraft was actually fitted with special shock absorbers so that the crew would be able to take a land landing if the craft, for some reason, re-entered off course and made a land landing.
So they were prepared for everything. Wow, Scott.
They were indeed.
Yeah, you're blowing my mind right now. Now, obviously you know a lot about these missions and flights and, you know, NASA's history. So what does the 50th anniversary of the moon landing mean to someone like you?
to me, it is the ultimate. Just to be here as I am at the moment at the Kennedy Space Center is really something quite extraordinary. There's never been an event like this. It's like we've been building up to, we've had a 20th anniversary, 25th, 30th, and we've been building towards this. The sad part is that a lot of the engineers and the astronauts have now passed away. So the direct connection with the program isn't there, but the excitement and the willingness to go again, to return to the moon, is most definitely there, and NASA has stated that is their near-term goal, is to return astronauts to the moon. There is a lot of reflection here at the Kennedy Space Center in this period, and a lot of people reflecting, but also looking forward and really wanting to make a commitment to put man back on the moon again. When we do go back, it will not be an American effort. It will most definitely be an international effort. It may also be an effort that's funded by private industry. So there's a great deal of anticipation for the future here as we mark this anniversary.
Yes, indeed. They've got the flag up now, and you can see the stars and stripes on the lunar.